Well, we have the privilege this morning of hearing what God is doing for children in a ministry that Rob and Michelle have been involved in for quite a few years. But they brought that to our church and asked if we would be interested in developing that ministry, if they were willing to lead it. And of course, the leadership were all in favor of that, and through this past year, putting things together to make that happen, working and negotiating with the SDA church, and so a number of things have had to occur, and so far the Lord just seems to keep opening the door, and that really speaks to us that God wants to touch young people, and whether they're just a toddler, well, not exactly toddlers, but maybe 4, 5, 6 year olds or so on, right up to teens. God is interested in touching lives, especially a generation that may never have heard of who Jesus Christ is. You know, I had the sad experience last night of going for a walk and having two young boys, maybe around 9 or 10 years old, ride their bikes right beside me. And the second boy was cursing the entire way. He was saying Jesus' name in vain. He was saying F words. He was saying, and I thought, you know, you don't even know who Jesus is. And yet you're speaking out his name in vain. And it was just tragic because our young people have not heard from their parents about who Christ is, and not from teachers, not even from the culture. It's just a blank screen when it comes to who Christ is. So we're so looking forward to how this ministry will develop. And so I just want to introduce again to you this morning, Rob and Michelle, and we just thank you that they're here today and they're going to minister to us about what God is doing in this ministry. Rob, Michelle.
Hey, thank you, Larry, and thank you, Travis, for letting Michelle and I have a bit of time to kind of share the vision that we have just to you know, flesh this idea out a little bit more for everyone in the church. Larry, you've allotted us 40 minutes. I don't know if we'll take that, but we'll just get going here. So I guess the last time that we chatted with everybody here about Awana, I think it was about four or five weeks ago, we gave a very short overview of what we were hoping to do and what the board had agreed to support the ministry. So I think today what we want to do is have another short discussion just to give a bit more detail. This will be we want this to be a bit of an interactive time too. We're going to be asking questions and we want people in the congregation here to shout out some answers. If you were involved with tactics with us, you know, we were recording some answers, and I think we're going to kind of do that same style here. So if we ask a question and you have an answer, please just unmute yourself and shout out the answer, and then just remute yourself and we'll record the answer. After the presentation, we'll have a time for questions. So, and we really value your questions. So please, if you have a question during the talk here, just record it somewhere or just try to remember it so that we can answer that at the end.
Yeah, you can even pop it in the chat box and then it will be there for when we get to that.
Yeah, that's a great idea, actually. So I guess last time we talked, we briefly went over and some of the struggles that kids are having these days. It's no secret that through whether it be through school, through peers, through other means, online or anything like that, kids are attacked on a lot of fronts, on morality, spirituality, really anything to do with truth. They're taught that there is no God. They're taught that there is no moral truth. They're taught that they should really engage. They can engage in any kind of thing that feels right to them. You know, there's a really heavy indoctrination into homosexual lifestyles and practices from very early ages, like from even kindergarten. It starts there. They're being taught falsehoods about origins. Where did people come from? What is our purpose for being here? They're being taught things to question their genders, and that those things aren't assigned to them at birth. It's not part of who they are. I think it's no secret that it's really difficult for kids to navigate this world today. And to kind of help, I guess, put some perspective into the reasons for Awana, we want to ask some questions here. So Michelle's going to share her screen. I'll just pass it off to her here.
Okay, so please do unmute and give me some answers, because it will be really quiet if we don't. So children have unique qualities. I'm sure you've noticed that children have different qualities than adults. And what would you say some are the unique qualities of children that you have seen?
Inquisitive.
Yeah, they sure are.
Always asking why.
Oh, oops, I'm not typing. Here we go. Inquisitive, always asking why. Yeah, for sure.
They're impulsive.
Impulsive?
Intuitive.
Kindergarten. We work in a kindergarten classroom. We see it all the time.
Yeah. They get the idea and then they just run with it, right? Even though they are not totally sure where it's going to lead, they don't consider that until, it's like Calvin and Hobbes flying through the air on their wagon or whatever, you know? Yeah.
Totally honest.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, brutally sometimes.
Yeah. I know. When Isaiah was little, I remember I would notice that he saw something and I would know he was going to say something totally inappropriate. So I just put my hand over his mouth and I'd walk as fast as I could away. And then, you know, when I got a safe distance, I'd say, what was that? You know? Yeah.
They learn like sponges.
Oh yeah, you're right. Exactly.
They pick up everything.
Sponges, yes.
They have an innocence about them.
Innocence, yeah.
Yeah. That's great, Cora.
Yeah, it's true. You're right, Cora.
Jill, I was going to say they have a capacity for faith.
Yeah. They are very likely to believe what you say, what you tell them.
They're trusting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
They also know there's something greater than they are.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't have a problem with that. Idea.
They know their parents are bigger, taller. There's something greater, and they want to know what that greater thing is out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for encouragement. They're looking for encouragement.
Oh yeah.
They're excited about life.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
They're intrinsically motivated.
What does that mean, Bill?
It comes from inside to outside. They don't have to be motivated outside themselves. It goes back to being naturally curious and so on. They're just intrinsically self-motivated, internally motivated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I see that all the time in my kids. Their motivation, they think, is probably the most valid motivation sometimes.
Well, they do sometimes. That's why they need training.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, I mean, all of these amazing qualities that children have, and I think that God created children with these qualities. So what purpose do you think why did God create children to be trusting? Why did he create them to have these different qualities than we have as adults? To be asking why, to be totally honest, to have this capacity for faith.
Right, as image.
What was that, Tilly?
We're made in his image.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We are made in his image. Why did God create children to be trusting? there's no right answer. I'm just asking.
The big answer to the question is, why did he make parents? And he made parents to educate and train their children. Mm. And if that could happen quickly, like with animals, then they wouldn't need parents. It doesn't take long for an animal to train the chicks or the young cows or whatever, and then they're on their way. It takes parents quite a long time to educate and train and support their kids.
So you're saying that God put this capacity in children because he knew that they're to make them teachable.
To make them teachable, but also to make them need their parents. We are procreators. God did the original creation, and we're the procreators. He entrusted us with that stewardship.
Okay, so we have this stewardship. So we could be stewards.
Well, stewards to our own children, actually, and grandchildren.
I remember many occasions when my children taught me, because I'd kind of moved past some of the insights that they sometimes presented. So maybe God teaches us through our children too sometimes.
Sure.
That's amazing. Yeah, I think you're right. Thank you, Myrna.
The word teaching keeps on coming up, and without those qualities above, they would be unteachable.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
I have three children, and they were all born with a really good sense of humor, and they were all very funny.
That's wonderful, Nell. They do have a great sense of humor.
And a lot of times they don't even know they're being funny.
Yeah, they do.
Something else happens too when you spend the time with your child and teach your child, support your child. When they grow up and have their own children and do the same thing, they appreciate you more than they ever did when they were young.
Yeah.
So we're how we teach our kids these things, but as adults, we've lost some of these things.
Yeah, why have we lost them, Rhonda? Marlene, sorry. Sorry, why have we lost them?
Everybody who's talking right now.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. I guess we've matured, I guess.
I think God made children that way because these are positive attributes that we need to develop in our children. These are positive things, like the sense of humor, like wanting to learn. These are all positive things. And if you look at God's character, you can see, you know, like, yes, we are made in his image, but these are positive things. We can trust God. Children trust us. And they should be able to trust their parents, right?
Yeah, so we can see God's character and our role as children of God when we look at children.
Yeah, I think so.
That's really neat.
They're not tainted by the things of the world till they get older. And like you were saying earlier there, Rob, you know, they get questioned at school or university. That's why our son lost his faith. Mm-hmm. He was challenged by teachers that said, you either write it my way or you fail.
God also created children, so they need both a father and a mother. And there's a lot of research on that. One without the other is incomplete, whether it's a little boy or a little girl. Each gender needs a father and a mother to know how to relate to that gender as they grow into adulthood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now I'm going to go to my next page here. Let's think about when we were children. I know we all have different experiences, but does anybody here remember as a child believing in God?
Oh, absolutely. And,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
And as long as I can remember.
Really? And did you believe in God? Maybe I should go to my next question here, because I think that why did you believe in God, or how did you come to know about God?
I was fortunate to go to church.
Yeah. Okay.
With my family. but I just knew.
Yeah. Sunday school.
Yeah.
Went to a little camp.
Okay.
I had a morning paper out for 6 years and got up at 4:30 every morning. Four seasons a year in Virginia, and I could see God in the sky every season. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
And it, for 6 years, I saw that every morning.
Wow.
My family were not believers, and yet the Holy Spirit spoke to me as a child and reassured me of the Heavenly Father's love. And I have no idea other than it was the Holy Spirit, independent of family, that reminded me of God's great love for me as a child.
Wow.
I had no knowledge of God, but as I got older, I knew there was more to life than just what we were living every day. I always questioned that. There must be more to life.
I would share a story that real brief about my mom, not myself, but my mom tells me that when she was just 6 or 7 years old, her dad was, my grandfather was an alcoholic, and there was a lot of violence in the home and so on. But she lived for the Sundays because the church bus would come around to her neighborhood and would pick her up and take her to church. And that's where she found God. And
wow.
And so this escape from the crisis that going on at home to church and a God that loved her is how she met the Lord.
Wow.
That's amazing. My grandmother Gray role modeled Jesus Christ every time we were with her. She never had to talk about him or her faith. She lived it. And role modeled it. And because she did and we loved her, we did it too.
Wow, that's amazing.
I sensed God's protection when I was little. And I felt his protection. And I have vivid memories when I was very small. And my father was a pastor. So very visual, very vivid memories.
Wow, this is when I was a child. My family were non-Christian and did not believe in God and were, I guess, atheists. But I had such a strong belief, and I remember praying and asking God when I got like in my late teens, early 20s, where did that belief come from? Because there was no source. Mm-hmm. And he didn't answer that prayer until I was about, or until about 2004. And I was in Syria on a bus, and this Muslim woman got on and sat down in front of me with her baby. And the Lord spoke in my heart and said, hold the baby, take the child. And so I tapped her on the shoulder and asked her if I could take the child and hold it for a bit. And she just handed it to me. And it was a little girl. And then the Lord showed me, he wanted me to pray for this baby. And I prayed for the child that she would come to Christ, that somehow that she would hear about Jesus Christ and come to him. And right at that moment, he showed me in my spirit that that's what happened to me, that I had such a fervor for Christ as a child was because someone prayed for me.
Yeah, what is that? Yeah, for me, I never doubted that God was real. It was just absolute to me. Not like now, not like as personal as now, but I was raised in a Catholic home, but when I would be in the hospital as a child, they had Sunday school every Sunday, so I begged my dad, and it was not his idea, if I could go to the Sunday school. And so I would just look forward to the Sunday school and learning scriptures. Because then you'd get bookmarks and you'd get this and that. That's where I got my first Bible. And so I got to go to Sunday school when I was there, which was kind of the Protestant side of my life. Then I'd come home and be in the Catholic. But for me, it was like God was real. He loved me. And And I just expected that everybody thought like that. I figured that out real quick that they didn't. But, you know, when I was younger, I was surprised to find people that didn't believe in God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you thought it was self-evident, right? When you were a child, well, obviously, yes. This is like something that goes without saying, that we were put here by a God who loves us and cares about what we do, right?
Yeah, I believed he made the world. I believed in Jesus. You know, it was just, that was my life. I believed that. I never lost it. I might have waffled here and there, but I never lost it.
Yeah, yeah. That's my experience too, like knowing that God was always there. And sometimes you make choices that aren't consistent with that belief, but that belief is still there, right?
That's right. Yeah. And yeah, you still believed he loved you, right? Even when you blew it. I was like, well, thank God he still loves me, but I really blew it.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. I know in Sunday school, we received what was called the Sunday picks. And in Sunday school, that was a little comic book, but it a little comic section that I have to confess, I read it during church when my dad was preaching. Anyway, it was something that I learned about David and Goliath. I learned all the stories that I heard in Sunday school, and it was a little publication. So children today do learn from books and from reading.
Yeah, very good. Okay, I'm going to stop my screen sharing here. This is great for us to think about. How we related to God as children, and that, you know, a lot of us really just knew that God existed. He had made himself just evident to us as children. And I believe this is true for a lot of children, but very quickly the world comes in and says, no, God does not exist. And some of them retain that faith deep inside them, but it's a real uphill climb. So how can we help children retain this knowledge of God that he has put in them?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that, you know, this exercise has been really, really great, because I, you know, like Michelle said, we can kind of see that there's this really innate part of children that allows them to have faith that there is a God. It's something that's built into them. And that time of being a child is such an important time, because, you know, as a lot of people said, that's the time when they're the most teachable. They receive the most, it's the formative part of their life. And so this is why Michelle and I really believe that, you know, one of the answers, you know, I asked a question, how do we help them navigate through the messiness of this world? Well, you know, this is what we think one of the ways to help them is through an Awana program. Now, we shared a little bit about what an Awana program is. It's based on three core elements, okay? The first one is scripture memorization. Larry put up the slide earlier about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, that there's no way to answer the challenges of this life unless you know the truth of the Word of God. So I would go so far as to say this is kind of like the core of the Awana program is scripture memorization. The second element is a combination of both Bible teaching and musical worship. And then the final part of it is kind of more to keep kids busy, but it really engages them, and it kind of helps the other two aspects come in. It's a physical games time. And so that's really the core elements of what an Awana program is. And what is it? Well, it's non-denominational, first of all, which is one of the reasons why it reaches all over the world. I was looking at the Awana website, and I think it's about I'm going to get my numbers mixed up here. 112. I'm going to say, I'm thinking 123 countries that Awana is actually found in.
It's all over the place. It's in Africa, yeah. It's in Asia, it's in every continent. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's all over the place. And so it's methodical. It starts when they're, you can start in from 2 years old, and it goes all the way up to 18 years old. And all of the different levels are kind of interconnected. They build on the previous one, but not so much that you couldn't just jump in from any age. It's really designed so you can jump in from any age and just start. And it reaches not only the children, but it reaches their families, because the families become involved in helping the kids to memorize their verses and go through the little handbooks. It equips parents to disciple their children, and the handbooks give them a really great resource to do it. It equips God's church and allows volunteers to be actively involved in carrying out the Great Commission. This is just a bit of a fun fact. I was doing some research on if a child were to start the program from 2 years old, and they go all the way up right through to 18, they memorize 571 verses, a minimum of 571 verses, if they just do the minimum work in their handbooks. I found that to be fairly amazing. So I think what we're going to do now is we just wanted to look at some of the good reasons to host this Awana.
I remembered for life, really.
Yeah. So the three good reasons to host an Awana program. So I'll tell you the three reasons, and then we'll go into a little bit more depth. The first reason, it has to do with that it benefits children. The second reason is that it benefits the church. It benefits us, all of us. In many ways. And the third reason is that it benefits, well, it's in line with the heart of God. So these are the three reasons. We've briefly talked about how it benefits children, but can you tell in point form a couple of reasons why it would benefit children?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, going through the Awana program really gets kids to have a biblical worldview. It also provides them with a foundation of truth that they'll have in place so that they can turn to actual truth when the troubles of life come.
We've all had storms in life, and you know, if we don't have a place to turn, if we don't have a place where we're anchored or a rock, it's a very dark time. It's very, very dark, and many people don't get through those times well or at all. So this is important.
And just if I can share a bit of a testimony of a previous Awana club that Michelle and I were involved with, actually two little snippets here. There is this one little guy. I think he was in the Sparks age range, which is from 5 to 7 years old. And so my practice was, I had a few kids that were my kids to do verses with. And so I had a practice of asking the kids how their week went before we actually engaged with the verse, the memory work. And so this one little guy, usually, you know, he's a fairly chipper little guy. He was really down this one particular week. And I asked him how his week went. And he said, oh, you know, not very good, because my dad left home this week. And so I, you know, I was like, wow, I totally didn't expect that. but it gave me the opportunity to share. I mean, you know, my own family situation. My father and mother divorced as well. And so I was able to share some of my struggle and just kind of help counsel them through that. Another really interesting testimony that I have is there was a little boy in my grade 3 class doing verses with, and he loved to come to Awana, but he had a hard time with memorizing the verses. He didn't come with the verses memorized. So I talked to his mom and I said, hey, you know, he's having a hard time with memorizing verses. Can you, you know, try to help him? And she said, well, no, I refuse to do that. I think that God is, she said right flat out, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in any of this stuff that you guys are telling him. But for some reason, he loves to come here. He loves to come to Awana and he loves, he just loves it. And so I love him, so I'm going to bring him where he wants to go. So, you know, just a couple of testimonies of my own, you know, like this, Awana really sets a strong spiritual foundation for kids to be able to influence their generation and their own families. As they grow up, their influence is going to continue to move outward. They'll be a voice for truth, building and strengthening the church, influencing their workplaces, and continuing godly influence in their own families and beyond.
Yeah, and when we say in their own families, this is even when they're children, they are influencing their parents, they're influencing their siblings, they're influencing their friends. And as they grow up, of course, when they have children, we want them to have a strong foundation so they can influence their families, their children, and the families around them.
Yeah, so I'm just going to briefly discuss, there's a study that was done in 2007, and it was a study done by, I think, by the Barna Group, and it was done on Americans. There isn't any data really on the Canadian side of things, but what they found, what they studied was how Awana alumni who had completed at least 6 years of Awana, how they compared to Americans in general, how they compared to Protestants in general, and how they compared to the most religious, what they would term the most religious segment of America. And what they found was that kids who had been through the Awana program, by far, they were far more likely than other Americans, much more likely than Protestants in general, and generally more likely than even the most religious segments in America to have no doubts that God exists, believe that Jesus is the Son of God, believe their Bible should be taken literally and read it, attend religious services frequently, share their faith with family, friends, and strangers, and engage in missionary and community outreach programs more frequently. They even asked this question that said to the alumni, what was the relative importance of each of the influence of parents, the church, and Awana in their lives and developing the foundation of their beliefs. And they said that by far, I mean, the parents were the first and foremost, the biggest influence. And the second two were church and Awana. The very interesting thing was that Awana had more influence than all of the church's church activities combined. It's something that influenced them more, just marginally more than going to church. So just some interesting things to note there about that study.
And we can send that out if you want to look at the actual numbers, because yes, they have numbers and percent.
Yeah, there's a lot more to that study. It's like a 25-page kind of overview of the study that they did.
This was a very brief summary.
Yeah, very brief. So I'm going to ask Michelle here. She mentioned a few reasons. So I talked about children. You want to talk about how this benefits the church?
Sure. Yeah. So the church, we're called by Jesus to make disciples. And that is a great place to start, is with children, because they'll listen to you and they're not intimidating and they're just delightful and precious, right? So this program provides an opportunity for the church to fulfill the Great Commission. And, you know, church members who choose to volunteer in Awana grow in their own knowledge of the scripture as you help the kids with the scripture memory. And another thing we've noticed is that when the church within a local body starts serving Awana together, something amazing happens, and it brings the body together for a common purpose. The relationships within the church grow stronger, the relationships with the children between generations grow stronger. And did you have something to say about that, Rob?
Yeah, I just want to really briefly share our own experience on what happened to our little church. We were part of a church of about 40, 45-ish people 5 years ago. And Reed and Virginia, they were part of the same church, so they can attest to this.
And the Awana Club.
Yeah, and the Awana Club too. They volunteered in the Awana Club. So, but it was really interesting because, you know, we started this club, and there were not a lot of people in the church, but surprisingly, God put it on about half of the people's hearts to just want to get involved. Some were in the volunteer side of things, working with kids, and some were in other admin side of things. But it was amazing what happened to the relationships within the church. People began to really know each other. They began to serve with each other, and everybody had a common purpose. And it was just something that really strengthen relationships within the church. And it's, you know, I mean, even not going to that church, we still have really great relationships with everybody that was involved in that program. So it's just something that really strengthened the church itself.
So what do we need? What are the things we need from the church, from church members, from Christians, from people?
Yeah, we're not talking just about PMCC here. We're talking about the church,
the broader church.
The global church, yeah. Here. So what we need, the first thing that we need is prayer. You know, prayer to get the club off the ground. There's a lot of things that have to happen before the club can get going. We need prayer for volunteers. We do need volunteers to run the club. It's going to be about 16 regular people and a number of others, but we need help with people helping with the children. We need people helping with the games, with music, with administration. We need people to be backups for those that are sick. We need a specific person who wants to do sanitizing, go around wiping surfaces. And you know, kids can tend to be disease carriers, so you know.
But these ones aren't. We're still gonna sanitize.
Yeah, and also you know, sewing little face masks and book bags is something that we need.
And administration. Yeah, oh, you said that.
Yeah, I think I said that. And I do want you to know that you know, one of the big questions, of course, is sickness and the spread of COVID, and are we insane for doing something like this in light of this these challenges? Well, we are going to have Michelle and I and Travis and Larry have been talking about the kinds of measures we need to have in place to prevent the spread of sickness and to make sure that our volunteers are safe if they're volunteering. So we do have a fairly solid plan in place. I'm not going to go into all the details. Maybe we can answer that in the Q&A side of things.
We can even send something out about it.
Yeah.
And we're limiting the number of children. We have we're taking it seriously.
Yeah. So it's something that we've looked at and addressed. And I guess the last reason here Michelle mentioned is that Awana aligns with the heart of God. Do you want to unpack that a bit?
Sure. I mean, we all know that God created children in a unique way. He loves children. And Jesus said, "Let the little children come unto me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." So we know God's heart is for the strengthening and the protection of children. There are many verses in the Bible that show us what God's heart is towards children. He also said, if anybody welcomes a little child in my name, he welcomes me. And Jesus also says, finally, whatever you've done for the least of these, you've done for me. Now, he's not just speaking about children in that verse, but so many times children are the ones that don't have a voice. They're being told these things. They have no way to find the truth unless God just directly speaks it to them, or God speaks it to him through us, which is his plan. So whatever you've done for the least of these, you've done for me. And I'd like to close with a verse from Psalm 8, verse 2, which I think is very interesting. It's, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and avenger. So through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and avenger. So we need these children. We need this generation. We need them to be walking with Christ. We need them to be a strong place for the kingdom of heaven, for our sake, for their peers' sake, for the sake of the world, because it's God's plan. This is a high calling, and we're being called into it.
Say that now, scripture again, Michelle. Say that. That's a powerful scripture.
Psalm 8, verse 2, if you want to look it up. I think this is maybe the NIV, I'm not sure. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and avenger.
Amen.
Yes. So, and we just wanted to close with one little, it's a very short little Awana video, and it's on the Awana website. So, and I'm going to share our sound as well. Where is it? Okay, so this is just the Awana website here, and this is the Canada section of the Awana website. Oh, I'm trying to move this, but I'm not getting it. There we are. So this is Awana Canada, and reach kids, equip leaders, change the world. Reaching kids in Canada, equipping leaders, changing the world in Canada. So here is a 2-minute video.
Could you mute everybody again?
Okay, just mute yourself, please. Yeah.
Otherwise you get feedback.
Yeah.
We see it within them. Hope. Wonder. Possibility. Their entire lives lay out before them with unlimited potential. Neither their culture nor circumstance will ever fully define them. Instead, their worldview will be shaped and their paths will be chosen by how well they come to know, love, and serve Jesus Christ. And that drives us at Awana in our global mission to disciple them. So during these most vulnerable and formative years, we ask, who will reach them with the gospel? Who will lead them? Who will empower them to change the world? For more than 60 years, God has used Awana to lead the world in long-term discipleship, reaching millions of kids from around the corner to across the globe by equipping leaders to evangelize and teach kids to become strong disciples of Christ. Through local church ministries, clubs, and missions of Awana, generations of children have become teens and adults with strong biblical worldviews and active lives of faith. They pray more. They go to church regularly. They read scripture consistently. They stand firm in their beliefs. So as a new day welcomes the sounds of children and youth laughing, worshiping, and proclaiming the gospel, Awana stands ready. Ready to reach kids. Ready to equip leaders. Ready to change the world.
Video was glitching a little bit, but we were streaming and then streaming again. Double streaming it. Yeah. But I think what we're going to do is we're going to close in prayer.
Yeah, close in prayer, and then we'll just open the floor for any questions that people might have. So Lord, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for every person here listening, and God, I pray, Father, for your blessing over Awana. God, I pray that, Lord, that we would follow your leading, and that you would open doors, Lord. I just pray for your blessing, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right, so if anybody has any questions that they want to ask us, or any comments or anything like that, you know, feel free. Anything, if you want to say, hey, you guys are crazy for doing this, feel free to say it.
Rob, could you send out a list of the roles and specific functions under each role?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a list. Actually, I hadn't mentioned this yet, but Annabelle, I'm going to be sending you something to hopefully email out to everybody. It's kind of a follow-up, and it'll have, a little blurb of the vision. And also a detailed list of all of the positions that are needed. Sorry, what was that? That
when,
other.
When do we plan on starting up?
Oh yeah, the Awana year runs in tandem with a school year, so it would start up in I guess the first week or second week of September.
And I think it ends in May, doesn't it?
Yeah, it runs for typically for 26 weeks, but I think we have to build in an additional two kind of flex weeks just in case the SDA church needs to use their building on any day that we're doing Awana. So
yeah.
So it'll be a calendar of 28 weeks, but physically only 28.
And the day we're planning on holding it is Monday.
Yeah, it'll be Mondays between 6 and 8 p.m. It was the only time that we had SDA Church had available for us.
Yeah, so we'll be at the at PMCC, where we meet at PMCC at the Seventh-day Adventist building.
Can I pray for you? I'd like to pray for you. Lord Jesus, I just lift up Michelle and Robert to you, Lord. I pray, Father, also for all their family as well. Lord Jesus, you are going ahead of this. This is your design. And Father God, I pray, Father, that the children will love to come, and that every invitation that they give out will be received well by family. Lord, you're doing something ahead, and you're doing it with the children. Father, we pray, God, that your purpose will be going forward, and that it will be so in tune with what you are watching from above, looking down upon your children. We are all your children, but the little ones, Father, are so fresh in their minds. And Father, I pray that God, by your Holy Spirit, will just let them know that you exist. And somehow, like the question that Michelle and Rob asked, well, how did we know God? And what was our first experience? Lord Jesus, I pray that that will be so vivid in their minds that they will want to go home and tell mom and dad. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Barb. I think we're over time here.
Yeah. Okay. And just one last thing that I want to add here is that the intent is not that all of the volunteers to run the program should come from PMCC. You know, we would be really blessed if people in this body wanted to help. But we're hunting for people outside. You know, we want parents, we want grandparents, we want other, you know, other churches, brothers, sisters, who are willing to help out as well. So please don't feel like there's a great big huge burden on PMCC to if we don't get enough volunteers, it's all the fault of the people at PMCC. No, that's not the case at all.
I have a question, Rob, Michelle. Sure. How do you get the word out about the program to the families?
Well, one of the things that we're going to be doing is we have a pretty good social network through the homeschooling side of things, so we can use those avenues as well. There's various Facebook pages we could post things on, but one of the things that Awana is really is a passion of mine is really strengthening the body of Christ. So, you know, kids from other churches, we're going to be sending out some information to other churches. And also we're going to be putting some information up on the PMCC website. I just have to get some details to Larry before we can create a page on the website to kind of direct everybody to that page. And that's where I want to put where all the information is going to be. So
that's something we could share on our own Facebook pages once you get that up.
Yeah,
definitely.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, if there's no more questions, Larry, I'll just hand it back to you, and you can continue on with the rest of the service here. And thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you so very, very much on behalf of all of us here to not only filling us in on this amazing program, but also the way that you lead it, I think is so positive, and the interaction even between the two of you, and the fact that you're not a couple that wants to do ministry, you're a couple who has a family that wants to do ministry. because I know your kids would be all involved. And the fact that you've been raising five children, you're the perfect ones to do this. And so we're thankful for your leadership. We're thankful to God that in a church that really needed to recognize youth, we didn't know how to do that because we didn't have any. And we were searching out and praying for a number of years. Lord, how do we do this? And along you came, and you brought with you passion for Christ and this experience in this ministry already. So we just feel blessed as a church that you've brought this program and that you wanted to start it up. And we want to give you all the support that we can to make that happen. And that includes our personal involvement. I will say one thing. If I can't be a leader, then I'm going to join as a kid. And I'm going to teach me because I don't want to miss out on any of that fun that they're having in there. I'm going to fill in the blank spots in my childhood that I didn't get when I was young. So I'm going to go through the program myself. I'm so looking forward to it. And I just wanted to close with this. You know, when adults think that they're the ones who are important, when we think that that's where ministry belongs and be directed towards, when we think that there's a jockeying between one and another as to who's more important than another, and when we have these various roles that people play and we have a hierarchy of that person is more important than others, look at what Jesus says. When the disciples were doing that, he says this, "Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For he who is least among you all, he is the greatest." Those are children that we need to minister to and reach because they become the adults tomorrow. And so we're so thankful that this is an opportunity that God has given us as a church. And we're excited about how it'll roll out. As far as the COVID virus goes, we're just moving by faith. And we're moving by faith that this is something God wants to do. And so he'll look after all those other details in regards to how the kids would come together. And so looking forward to that. So Father, we just thank you again this morning for your blessing over what we've said and done. And we thank you, Father, that you've inspired us to do such an amazing program as this, to be involved and to see the changes that we can make in people's lives as the Holy Spirit grabs hold of their mind before the world begins to corrupt it. And so, Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We pray that you'd lay it on each of our hearts as how we can be involved and how we can support this ministry. Thank you, Father, for this time together. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name.